Ryan Grantham was a Canadian child actor with more than 36 roles under his belt, including parts in iZombie, Riverdale, and Diary of a Wimpy Kid. After admitting to watching hours of brutal and violent executions for months on the dark web, his hidden fantasies finally became a reality. That's today on Death in Entertainment.
Live from Los Angeles.
911, what is your emergency?
Here in Hollywood now.
Two counts of murder,
injury, and death.
Oh my God!
Shocking new details
that has stunned the entertainment world.
This makes me a little nervous.
The hair stood up on my arms.
Just like in the movies.
What do you call this thing anyway?
Death in Entertainment.
Oofta!
What's going on, debtors? What the debtors? What the Wachanowskis?
The term is deado.
Yeah. Deado. I don't know if oofta is a Canadian thing, but our story today takes us to Canada, and the closest thing I know when it comes to like the accent and the speech is like Minnesota-ish, I guess.
Like Fargo or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's the bacon? The maple bacon?
So what's going on, everybody? My name is Kyle Plouffe.
My name is Mark Mulkeren.
And I'm Alejandro Dowling.
And we are jumping into episode 56.
Whoa, man.
Diary of a Wimpy Killer.
Bum, yeah, yeah.
Bum. Whoa, you're already naming it right out the gate here.
Out the gate, yeah.
Out the gate. That's the title is thrown down. The gauntlet is thrown down.
That's how certain we are of this title.
Okay. And now we got to lock that gate.
Yeah, exactly. Lock the gate!
Lock the gate, deados!
Ow!
Ow! I just shit my death.
Oh, man.
Do you want to tell the deados about our Hong Kong news?
Oh, we haven't told them yet.
Yeah, let's get all the you know, family or the housing.
Yes.
Or home economics. Yeah. What are we talking about?
Housekeeping?
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping, family business, yada, yes. Yada, yada.
Housekeeping me fluff pillow.
Yeah, so we already know that we're top 200 in Italy. We have announced already that we reached peak chart in Slovakia, was number 51 true crime podcast.
Hold up.
In Slovakia. And this past week, we have reached, fellas, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Number 30 on the Hong Kong true crime charts.
Wait a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Woo! My Lord, was that as of today? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, that was this past week.
Fucking A.
Yeah, so thank you to our listeners in Hong Kong. Didn't know we had you.
Yeah.
But we got you.
We like people that are just losing their freedom.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay, I shouldn't say that.
Opinion about that. I love China.
Love China.
I love the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go wrong with the food.
Sure.
Yeah, the food is amazing.
Yeah. Well, at least in America, American Chinese food.
Okay,
let's just say it's great. Now we're losing them. We're losing everyone. Now.
Come back.
Now we're the number 30 enemy in Hong Kong. Trying desperately to appeal to anyone who will take us.
Yeah.
Let's just move on.
So,
okay, let's go on.
Now that the housekeeping's done, the dishes are done.
Yes.
Dishes are done, dude.
Done, dude. And now we are traveling all the way to March 31st. 2020.
Okay, well, let me pop it off here with the...
Pop it off.
Pop it off, boy. These are the Billboard top 3 music hits right now for March 31st, 2020. Number 3.
Yeah, right now, then.
Right now, then.
If we're in 2020, right now.
Hey, I get into character, okay? Yeah. I'm method with this shit. Yeah. Number 3. Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
I don't know who that is.
If you don't want to see me dancing with somebody. Dun-dun.
This is what we were looking forward to, Kyle singing
these
songs. Yeah.
I still didn't know it? I thought Dua Lipa was in the room right there.
Yeah. If she is, could she please leave?
Could she please leap out of the room?
Hello.
Okay. That brings us to number 2, Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. This one I do know.
Yes.
Me too.
That's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, he did the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes.
Or he's going to. No, he did.
He's going to it this time.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yes.
We're talking about right now then.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's 2020.
Yeah. We have a big dry erase board and a lot of like pins around. We're trying to figure out where we are right now.
Yeah.
This is like a Christopher Nolan movie. Okay, number 1. The Box by Roddy Ricch.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know the words. I just say gibberish during the song because I don't know what he's saying.
Is Roddy Rich related to Roddy Piper?
Or Buddy Rich.
Or Buddy Rich.
Yeah.
Alejandro, what's going on with the movies right now?
Right now, March 2020, the NBA has just closed down. Will they close down restaurants and the bars? We don't know. But the box office has Sonic the Hedgehog at number 3.
Wow.
The Jim Carrey vehicle.
Yeah, there was a conspiracy theory that they released a trailer with a very shitty looking Sonic the Hedgehog, and then fans on Twitter got so upset about it that they physically did redo the entire movie with a new updated Sonic that wasn't as creepy looking.
Wow, they physically
did it. And the conspiracy theory is that they did this on purpose to get advertising for the show, get people riled up about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Then it's brilliant because that worked.
It would have,
no,
yeah.
No, but that's a conspiracy theory. But they really did, the fans did bitch about it, right?
So bad that they did redo it and push it back, yeah.
He looked like Roadkill in the first version.
It was very creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was creepy in the second version too, but less creepy. It was more cartoony creepy.
But right. That's a pretty ballsy marketing move right there. I don't know if they have that to waste on a $100 million movie or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And you know what? Why didn't they do that to the live-action Lion King that was a couple years before?
God, that was bad.
Those animals were creepy.
Yeah.
Nobody complained. Like, Pumbaa looks like a warthog. A real one.
Alejandro's going off on his own personal things now.
Okay, number 2. The Invisible Man with that actress from Mad Men.
And from Scientology.
Oh, Christina Hendricks?
No.
No, The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, and Moss. Elizabeth
Moss.
There we go. Yeah.
Ex-wife of Fred Armisen.
I like that movie, actually.
Fred Armisen?
Yeah. Nice. The Invisible Man.
Did not see it.
It was a fun one.
I wouldn't call it fun.
It was about
trauma and, like, you know, was kind of like a heightened thriller.
Yeah, they put a new spin on it.
Yeah.
And then it came back to bite The Invisible Man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Okay?
So you got to watch it.
Yeah.
I will watch it.
Yeah.
This year of 2020 that we're in.
Yeah.
Carry the 5.
I did see Memoirs of an Invisible Man with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Back in the day.
Way better than that.
Oh, really? Okay. Because that's a high bar.
Yeah.
Number one. Did you have more to say about that?
Nothing else.
Okay. Number one movie. March 31st, 2020, Onward.
The Dead Dad Disney movie.
What?
Yeah. It's
the DDD.
Yeah, the DDD.
I haven't heard of this one.
Yeah, so it's about two kids that go on a quest to find their dead dad, who is like, they did a spell with a stick. And his dad's.
This is a great pitch you're giving us right now.
His dad's.
One of them sticks. They did like a spell.
The
thing.
Dad is dead, and there's a stick somewhere.
So they're trying to bring him back to life because they're into like Magic the Gathering and like Harry Potter type shit. So they have like this magic stick that the.
So they're very cool kids.
Yeah. So the dad gives them. He leaves them a stick that is like a magic wand, I guess.
In the will, he leaves them a stick.
Yeah.
Okay. And
that will sucks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
That's like Tom Cruise in Rain Man. He gets the shit end of the stick.
Yeah.
Literally
Hello.
Gets the shit end of the stick. Can. I said he gets the shit end of the stick.
The only person, the only creature that will be happy with a stick in the will is Lassie. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. So they do this spell, and only half of the dad is like recreated into reality. So it's just their dad's legs, and they're trying to figure out how to go on a quest and get the top half of him.
Wow, we were going through a weird time mentally, America, with our movies at that time.
So if you ever want to see a Disney movie about two kids hanging out with their dead dad's dick for 2 hours,
hey,
that's whoa. It.
Okay.
That's a log line for you.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch The Invisible Man first.
There you go.
Then you see about the dad's dick.
Well, yeah. Okay, the story of Ryan Grantham. Ryan Grantham was born in the year 1998. This is the first subject that we have that we do not know what their actual birthday is. Conflicting reports online. We don't actually know. Some people say November 98. Some people say January. Who knows? Who cares?
What, was he born in the bush or something?
He was born in British Columbia, Canada.
So there's just no records of this person?
I don't know. There's not. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Really?
How weird is that? Yeah.
He doesn't.
No. I don't know if people scrubbed him or what.
Wikipedia is doing weird things these days where, you know, some of the information's a little flimsy these days.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump the gun, but in the Diary of a Wimpy Kid wiki fandom page, not the official Wikipedia, but he has a little entry for his appearance in the movie. And then it says at the top, actor and murderer.
Ah, that's funny.
He's a hyphenate.
Yeah.
A multi-hyphenate. Yeah. He grew up with his sister, Lisa, and they were raised by their mother, Barbara. They had no dad. He just, like, as soon as they were born, just took off.
He was half invisible, later. Half dick.
Yeah.
He's like, and I'm taking the stick with me.
And I'm taking my dick with me.
You don't even get the stick.
Yeah.
You don't get the dead dad's dick stick. Okay. All right. So their father, he just went and fucked off. So their mom, she was, like, by all accounts, such a nice lady. She wanted the best lives for her kids. She did everything possible to become, like, their biggest cheerleader and supporter. Ryan wanted to become an actor, so she became, like, his manager and just helped him get roles.
Just got him out there on auditions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's super rare in the world of child entertainment, as we know, that usually stage moms and, like, set moms are just complete fucking lunatics.
They're monsters. They're the people, like, I should have gotten the attention, and I'm going to take it out on you through my kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're just, like, going super hard on them, and they're controlling.
Like the Lohan family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oof.
Borderline, if not actually abusive, being like, you're going to live my dream, you son of a bitch.
Kit Culkin, too, was like that.
Yeah.
The Culkin's dad.
And that's another thing, like, she wasn't spending his money or anything. Like, he was getting his own money and did not get Culkin.
She's one of those rare scenarios where she just did it out of the goodness of her heart to help her son and set aside the money. Unlike, you know, Mickey Rooney and his family who took all the money.
Out of the goodness of her heart, though? Or is she looking for some income for the family?
No, she, like I said, she's not, like, doing the Macaulay Culkin guide to...
where it's like, it's all of our money now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this wasn't family money. This was, like, she was setting him up and making sure that he was getting paid and being in movies and stuff like
that. Okay, and what was her occupation?
His manager.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you get a 10%
cut. So she was taking 10%.
No, but let's call a spade a spade. Let's admit that she's also using it for the family.
Yeah, but she's not bankrupting him.
All right.
No, it's not like just big community money. Like the Phoenix family just taking it. Hey, this is all our money.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, River, for work, for slaving for, you know, 20 hours a day.
Yeah. But River allowed it. Macaulay was like, fuck you, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put the hands on my face. I should get the money.
He divorces Dad.
He did.
And he divorced Dick.
And Drew Barrymore, too, did that, I believe.
Did she? Yeah. They emancipate.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck this.
So he had, by all accounts, pretty much like a normal childhood other than, you know, being cast in movies. He went to school. It's not like he was, like, taken away and, like, not living a normal life.
Nice mom.
Great mom.
They're Canadian.
Yes, they're Canadian. And him and his mom, even though they were manager-client relationship, mother-son, they were also, like, best friends and did everything together.
Wow.
At 9 years old in 2007, he got cast in his first made-for-TV movie called The Secret of the Nutcracker, this logline. In this innovative version of the world-famous Christmas story, 12-year-old Clara takes a magical journey on Christmas Eve to find her father in a World War II prisoner of war camp.
Wait, what?
Oh, my God.
That's not the story of the Nutcracker. It has nothing to do with World War II.
No, I don't remember the Nutcracker eating Jews.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember the Nutcracker taking showers that were filled with gas. I remember this movie. It was like in theaters, right?
It was made for TV in Canada. It might have done like a U.S. run somewhere.
That would be funny if they decided to release it in theaters. After
internationally.
Straight to TV in Canada, though.
Have you Googled any pictures of this?
Oh, yeah.
I remember a really freaky looking version of the Nutcracker from around that time. It must be the same movie.
Is it like a swan with like a swastika on
it? It's like Nazi Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
So instead of the Nutcracker with the regalia and the uniform, uniform. It's a Nazi outfit?
Pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Am I right?
Hold on, let me see.
That's a big swing from the, from these producers.
That's even darker than that Onward movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Secret of the Nutcracker.
I wonder who the diabolical maniac behind this production is.
Was that Brian Cox?
Yeah. The director is Eric Till, writer John Murrell.
Never heard of him. Never heard of him.
This is the one I was thinking of.
Is it?
This is the trailer here?
Yeah, this is the trailer.
She's in Germany. A prisoner of war.
I see.
Who are you?
If I were to say a simple magic...
Fucking Shiv!
That's Brian Cox.
Sure is.
What is it? He's a nutcracker, isn't he? What will I see?
Somehow Brian Cox is scarier than his character on Succession. Well,
he's scared of this movie.
It's merely show business.
Okay, here we go.
It's very cheerful I just music noticed, for a Nazi camp.
Yeah. I just noticed Ryan Grantham, by the way.
There's dancing Holocaust prisoners. Oh, my God.
Now Hitler's doing the splits.
Yeah. Now Hitler's breakdancing. He's breakdancing.
He broke out the cardboard.
Yeah, cardboard's out.
Who would want to make this movie?
Who knows?
This looks like a movie that would be in the movie Scrooge.
Yeah. It's one of the movies at the beginning of Scrooge.
That gives that old lady the heart attack and kills her. And
they're proud of it.
Yeah. There's like people with SS people with machine guns shooting the nutcracker in this.
Oh my God. So that was 2007 for him. He was 9 years old.
It ends at the Nuremberg trials.
Did you kill all of these nutcrackers?
They're still dancing.
How many nuts did you crack?
I'll give you a gas chamber.
Oh my God. So the next year in 2008, he went from being that one weird ass 2007 Christmas Nazi film made for TV and then goes on to be in 8 TV shows and movies, including Jumper with Samuel L. Jackson and Hayden Christensen. And get this, this is a movie I had no idea had one sequel, never mind 2. He was in Slapshot 3.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why, and they spread them out because the first one was like 81.
I think
with
even
Paul Newman?
Late 70s.
It might have been, yeah.
It could have been, yeah.
I think the sequel, the original sequel, number 2, was a little closer to the, you know, the early
80s. Was that with Sean William Scott with Stifler was in that?
No.
No, you're thinking of Goon.
Goon, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking of bad hockey movies.
But you'll be surprised who's in this one. Here's another trailer that we can make fun of.
Going trailer heavy.
Out of control.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Never on time.
You stood me up.
Oh, we got trouble in paradise.
I just changed my plans and didn't call.
And the Chiefs are the worst team in the junior league.
These guys suck.
Give it up.
You see who that was?
Is that Frank Drebin?
We have to make this town love us again, man.
Leslie Nielsen?
Champions. Remind them what we're made
of. Oh, yeah.
To get back on top, they'll need help from the biggest names in hockey.
Mark Messier.
No, not that.
And they listed guys. 2 names.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here to show you how to fight back, fellas.
They're looking for another Mighty Ducks, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is the junior league, so it's the kids.
Yeah. But the squirts.
This is how you get the jersey off your opponent's head.
But they got the original 3 brothers.
Oh, the, what were those brothers' names?
And the Hanson brothers.
The Hanson brothers.
There you go. They heard you.
Thank you.
Oh, right. Comedy legend Leslie Nielsen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Direct from the morning zoo. Hello, Leslie Nielsen.
Take. Your shot.
This narrator, it's like K-Rock 2001 or something.
The Junior League.
It's so obnoxious.
Yeah, this came out 2008.
Oh, man.
Who the hell knew Slapshot had a third fucking movie?
It's to get people over the mortgage meltdown and the entire...
Or to give them what they're clamoring for.
Or to cause it.
Yeah. Imagine you lose your house and then you just see that on TV.
You see that movie, you go home, and then you put the bullet in your brain.
Slapshot 2 was in 2002 with Stephen Baldwin and Gary Busey.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for the clarification.
We need to watch that.
That is the trilogy right there. Fuck Lord of the Rings or The Godfather.
That's a trinity. Yeah. Okay.
The Holy Trinity.
The triptych of evil.
Yeah. The Father, the Son, and the Slapshot sequels.
Yeah. So in that 1 year in 2008, his second year acting, he works with Samuel L. Jackson, Hayden Christensen, and Leslie Nielsen.
And the Hanson brothers.
Hey, that's a good gig.
Yeah. Yeah. 2009, he saw even bigger success with multiple TV shows and film. The biggest movie he did that year is a movie we've spoken about in multiple episodes, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Oh, my God.
Did he work with the Heath Ledger?
Yes.
Well, he did for a little bit.
This is the movie that Heath Ledger died before completing.
Yeah, and it was finished by Colin Farrell, Johnny Depp, and who's the third? Oh, Jude Law.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Sure.
I remember my episodes here, okay?
Question.
Okay.
Did Ryan Grantham kill Heath Ledger?
He might have slipped him the pills.
Really?
He might have done it.
Well, he's a murderer, so we're finding out a lot about this person.
2010.
As well as an actor.
Randy Quaid is like, you got to watch this kid.
Yeah.
The Star Whackers are coming for you, kid.
Good actor, but watch your back.
No, he is the Star Whacker.
Yeah.
Disguised as a kid.
Yeah. 2010 was also a major win for him. He scored the role of Rodney in Diary of a Wimpy Kid. The series was a series of children's books that was hugely popular and got turned into a live action film. It did $64 million in the box office, and if he wasn't already on the industry's radar, he would be now.
I never heard anything about this series, franchise, whatever you call it. I knew nothing about it. You're like, yeah, I'm doing Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, you're an adult, so yeah. That's healthy.
That without sense. Kids.
So. Yeah. Why would I know anything about
it? It'd be weird
this?
If you did know it.
Well, I thought it was...
Yeah, if you knew the plot lines
I
and
thought
everything.
It was, yeah. Well, when Ryan went into the clubhouse... Yeah.
He wasn't so wimpy anymore.
When he fell off the tree that time, I thought it was... you know, because I thought it was like a series that happened like, you know, in the 80s, 90s, and they're just rebooting it. But this is a brand new thing.
Yeah, it was a brand new movie. It was just the series of books that came out, and I think it was the 90s and early 2000s.
Gotcha.
And yeah, hugely popular.
You know how with all the headlines with Ryan Grantham, you know, since he, I don't want to give it away, but since he did something.
Did something very bad.
Most of the headlines say, Diary of a Wimpy Kid actor going to jail for life. He's in the movie for 2 minutes.
Oh, really? He's just
really?
A big part?
He's barely in the movie, and he was not in the sequels.
Wow.
This is what I found out doing the research the last few days.
So calling him a star of these movies is very misleading.
Very misleading. What ends up happening is what I did, which is I Googled everybody in the cast. I could have just looked up Killer, Wimpy Kid.
Yeah.
It would have came up right away.
That's why it didn't for me, I think.
But I wanted to do the fun roundabout way where you Google Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Process and the whole elimination.
Yeah, and then I click on everybody in the cast.
And he's playing Guess Who.
Yeah.
So naturally, the kid.
It's a Saturday night. Yeah.
The main kid is played by Zachary Gordon. That's the actor.
Okay.
He's the wimpy kid.
Sounds like a wimpy kid.
How many people do you think thought Zachary Gordon was the killer based on those headlines?
I did before I looked this up.
Too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even Steve Zahn is in it.
Yeah,
I thought
Zahn,
Steve
maybe
Zahn
he'll
kill
him. Oh, I love Steve Zahn.
Yeah, he was in White Lotus. I'm like, how could he kill someone?
So that's my spiel about that. I think it's a little disingenuous to say Diary of a Wimpy Kid actor in every headline. That being said, I love the title of our episode.
Yes.
We can't stress that enough.
And we do have his clip from the movie if you want to see it.
Yeah, I do want to see it. This is the only clip?
Yep. Okay. I did not see this movie, so don't think I saw it. But I do know the context of the clip. They're putting on The Wizard of Oz as the school play.
Okay.
Okay.
And the main character, the wimpy kid, is one of the trees from The Wizard of Oz. And the teacher who's directing the play makes it so that none of the trees have armholes. So the kids are just standing there awkwardly in their costumes on stage.
Yep.
And the Ryan Grantham plays one of the students who is in the play within the movie. He's playing a shrub. not a tree. Okay. He's a shrub. And so to pass the time, he's playing a video game in his costume.
This makes me so much more excited about this.
That's the setup for this clip.
I am ready to roll.
Okay.
That's him.
Yeah, he's literally just on the ground.
Playing a video game.
This is acting.
Playing like a Nintendo DS or something.
Okay, now watch this.
Oh, they're going to fall, of course.
Someone trips over him.
I think I knocked out my tooth.
Perhaps we should cut out some armholes.
You think?
I heard he lived in a tree for 3 years before he filmed this, just to get into character. He's also method, I heard.
I love how they have the kid act like an 80-year-old Borscht Belt comedian. You think?
Yeah. Well, who do you think's writing this? Some hack fucking comedian who's, you know, was like 80 years old probably.
And so I think they thought maybe he was a bigger part of the movie because in some ways him being the shrub is an inciting incident because they trip over him and it leads the teacher to cut out armholes in the costumes so that the kids can have a big apple fight on stage.
Apple fight!
So they think,
it's a very integral part to the movie.
Yeah.
So the film, I'd call
So
it.
He was in it for, you know, 2 seconds and they're like, oh, maybe because he was inciting incident, he's the whole key to the franchise.
Sure.
Yeah. Big time.
This is journalistic malpractice, these people. And I think they should be prosecuted at The Hague for war crimes.
Let us know what you think in the comments.
I'd love to hear, but yeah.
Yeah. So after that, he goes on to score 22 more castings and productions over the next 9 years, including Supernatural, iZombie, Falling Skies, and his last role as Jeffrey in Riverdale. But before we get there, me and Alejandro found a clip and we have differing opinions on the context of the clip or stuff that you could see in the clip, because one of his first leading roles was in this movie called Becoming Redwood in 2012. And he was 98, 2012. So he's only like 14 years old.
Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, watching him just speak, like usually you can tell and you can see in a person's eyes if they're unhinged or like not all there or capable of violence. I didn't see it in there. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Everyone I've ever known that's gone to jail, I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Look into the eyes of a child of 7 and you'll see the man at 57.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to take a peek at this interview and see if we can spot the crazy. Okay.
Oh, I spotted it.
Apparently, Alejandro spotted
it. Can I get a gander?
And I'm playing the role of Redwood. Redwood is a 11-year-old boy, and
he's holding a golf club.
Is this the kid right here?
Yeah.
That's Grantham?
What he wants. Like, as you can see, he tries everything to get his parents back together. I think determination is one of the biggest things a person can have, and I think because of Redwood, I've definitely grown in determination, so that's definitely going to stick with me.
Yeah, he seems like a kid that would, like, throw a hot latte in, like, a production assistant's face, but at that age...
Oh, and go back up a little bit. He says something interesting about parents. No, that's fine. It was kind of boring up until that point.
So that's definitely going to stick with me. There are a lot of kids who have had these kind of parent troubles, and it's obviously something.
Oh, parent troubles.
If I could go back to the 70s, I think it's because of the fashion. Just because, look at these. How awesome are these pants?
He's psyched about his plaid pants.
You, like, we had to have
this isn't coming across as psychotic to you?
He's a little too overconfident for me.
Yeah. If Redwood had a motto, it would probably be never give up.
Does that not look like Chucky?
It would probably.
For real.
I think the wig he's wearing is insane.
Okay. I was like, yeah, he looks like the Witcher as like a kid.
That's exactly what he looks like.
Yeah.
With a button-up shirt and plaid pants on. Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like Netflix is the Witcher.
Yeah. But I don't see a murderer in that face.
Well, I do.
No, but he looks like a little sociopathic kind of Hollywood kid, though. He looks like, you know, he'd stab his personal assistant or something.
And who talked like that at that age? Like, oh, check out these pants.
I said almond milk, bitch.
Well, when you go on all these auditions, you're trained to be like this, you know, sentient kind of robot fucking kid talking thing.
Exactly. Yeah, you're raised to be almost
you're
like
not an actor.
A weird adult, like yes. to talk to the yeah. producers and stuff. It's yeah. odd.
It's frightening. Yeah, it's really scary.
It is scary. Yeah.
There's a great David Cronenberg movie called Map of the Hollywood Stars, I think it's called. And there's a kid in it who is just like that. And it's a very fucked up like take on all these like child actors and the Hollywood system in general.
Oh, wow.
I you know, everyone should watch it.
That sounds amazing, and I can't believe I haven't seen it yet.
You should watch it.
I'm surprised you haven't seen that or Footloose.
Well, it's a growing list, you know. But, Slapshot 3 as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he did a psychological analysis on every actor in The Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Yeah.
By process of elimination.
So that was fascinating to me because I was actually pissed because yeah. I was like, I'm going to find the clip of him in Wimpy Kid.
Yeah.
And it took me forever because he was hardly in it. Yeah. So when I realized he played a shrub for 2 seconds, I'm like, that is false advertising.
Yeah.
Maybe the Disney scrubbed it or something off from the internet and stuff.
And they gave him like a first and last name in the credits too. So I thought that was weird. Like, why are we giving him? It should just been like Shrub Kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that throws everybody off too.
Shrub number 3.
Maybe it's a SAG thing or something. Maybe he's a really like Pitbull agent or something.
He's got a good manager. Yeah. His mom.
Yeah. She's getting 10% only.
Or they had a crystal ball and looked into the future.
Yeah, geez. If they did, I think things would have gone a little differently.
A little differently.
Like The Wizard of Oz, to keep the reference going. They were doing the play in the movie.
Yep.
Like the witch's crystal ball.
That's right.
Perfect.
Okay, I'm done.
Perfect.
But there was no man behind the curtain in this one.
Oh.
The dad was gone.
Yeah.
And his dick was gone too.
Just his mom was in front of the curtain.
Hello.
Got some daddy dick problems?
Oh, God. Where were we?
Wait till we execute my will.
Is this thing
on?
I didn't get dick.
Check, please.
Yes, you did, kid.
You think?
You got a stick.
So, like I said, he, in 2019, played the role of Jeffrey in Riverdale. He was in one episode, but apparently he was a major character in the scheme of things because his character killed Archie's dad, who was, it was like a big mystery who killed Archie's dad.
We have the clip of that, too.
Yes, we do.
I guess he killed Archie's dad on the show by accident.
Drunk driving.
Yeah, and initially,
whoops,
his character's dad takes the blame for it.
Oh, really?
And that's what this scene
so
is all about.
So he got a little older, and now he's playing DUI murders.
Yeah, this is a big scene.
Tell me, or I swear.
Kill you! Stop!
He didn't do it.
What?
He didn't do anything wrong.
Jeffrey, get upstairs. What's he talking about? What do you mean?
He told the police he did it. To protect me, but it wasn't him.
That kid was drunk?
Okay, it was me. It was my fault.
The character, yes.
I took the car when I wasn't supposed to. I don't even have my license.
He has a wine spritzer.
He's a lousy actor.
I had a Coors Light.
Yeah, he had a Zima and killed somebody.
I'm so sorry.
That's how you know he's a sociopath, because he wasn't even believable as being sorry.
Yeah. He's like,
he's not believable in real life either.
I'd do it again.
Oh,
all
really?
Right, cut. Yeah. Can we do that? We'll do another take, but just go with the lines we gave you.
Can I run him over again?
You came across as creepy, cold, and distant.
Perfect.
Well, that's not really what we're doing here. And just use the lines we gave you, okay? Yeah. I never watched that Riverdale show. What is that?
I didn't read the comics either.
Reinvent the wheel here, you know?
Yeah, it's like a dark take on the Archie comics.
Really?
Like Jughead and all them, yeah.
That's such a weird thing to do.
Yeah. Very weird, yeah. And to put it on the CW. Like, it was very
that
odd.
Was on CW.
Yeah.
I thought Netflix took it over, though, right?
I think they might have, yeah. So nobody knew that this was going to end up being his last role. His last role being a fucking murderer. Which is weird, because he would go on to be a murderer in real life.
But more intentional murder.
Yeah. After he filmed the episode, he decided to go to college, which is an odd choice. He's in 37 productions so far, and then just like, I'm going to go get a
minor. Well, he's like the guy from
art.
Weezer, you know, he went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Like the Weezer guy.
Yeah, exactly like that.
He's the Weezer guy.
Because he went to Simon Fraser University at Vancouver.
Very different than Harvard. It's the Harvard of Vancouver, I heard.
Okay, everyone, take out your textbooks, eh?
Pop quiz, eh?
It was around this time that people noticed things were kind of, he was getting kind of weird.
Getting
kind of weird.
Yeah.
What's in your lunchbox, Ryan?
Well, fuck you! A gun!
Yeah. He's got a lunchbox! I'm in a gun! I'm in a lunchbox!
We're only asking because it's moving.
Yeah.
But there's a weird turn when former child stars get to that a certain age where if you thought they were crazy before, it's going to get so much worse.
But the weird thing is, to me, he never had to leave Vancouver. He was always in British Columbia.
Oh, he's always working there.
Yeah, he was never even.
He never
he's not like an
Hollywood
LA
thing.
Kid. Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's not like he's snorting coke all the time with like strippers and stuff at the Viper Club, like a Viper Room.
I like the Viper Club. Yeah. If the Viper Room is packed, yeah. The Viper Club is like right down the street to the left.
Yeah, that's what Johnny Depp's mom calls it. You're going on down there to the Viper Club.
Viper Club.
That's the weapon that Ryan murdered his mom with.
Yeah, the Viper Club.
Yeah.
He ended up getting diagnosed with depression and quit school. And this was right at the start of the pandemic, too. So he started school in 2019. Beginning of 2020 is when we were all cooped up in our houses getting drunk.
Yeah.
Far too often.
Yes. And watching Riverdale.
Yeah. He was smoking like pounds of weed just all day. And
see, that'll lead to depression.
That'll definitely lead to depression. But the weird thing is that weed generally doesn't make you a violent person.
No.
And especially doing a lot of it. They said that smoking way too much of it can cause episodes of psychosis. So they think it's possible.
Like chemical imbalance or something? Or
that, yeah, he was doing so much that it was triggering these insane episodes. But there had to have been a sociopathic element already there, because they found out he was keeping a journal and was detailing day by day his violent, murderous thoughts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yikes.
He was spending his day... He was spending his days on the dark web, and he was living at home, by the way, with his mom.
The dark
web.
The
dark web, yeah. Jesus Christ.
So he's got, like, that Tor browser.
He's in, like, an idyllic, neighborhood of Vancouver. Yeah. Everything is perfect. He's probably got enough money just to even retire at, like, 19, 20 years old.
They have socialized health care.
I know. Yeah.
What more could you want?
Yeah.
Good maple syrup.
Great syrup, yeah.
Love the bacon.
Love the bacon.
So he's spending all his days on the dark web watching videos of people being brutally murdered.
Oh, my God.
And he's detailing in his journal how much he loves watching them. And so he's just all day watching people actually getting executed.
So he's like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not far from what your day-to-day.
This is how the podcast started, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you watching like old Faces of Death videos.
Yeah. So he decided eventually that he wanted to carry out his murderous fantasies.
Wait a second. I wonder if a psychiatrist, it was their idea for the journal. You know, just like, hey, why don't you write it? They think it's going to be positive. Then they read it. They're like, I can't see you anymore. I'm really busy.
You
actually.
Need help I can't give you. Oh, my God.
I'm moving to Zimbabwe. I'm leaving.
He kills himself.
Yeah. I've seen too much.
Yeah, he turns over the last page and then just blows his brains out.
Ryan watches it on the dark web. I wonder how much the mom knew how dark his world was at this time.
She did not, because a little bit before this, she was diagnosed with, it was like late stage cancer.
Oh my God.
So she was like going through her own shit. And
maybe this had something to do with it.
Was going back and forth to treatment and stuff and was like really sick.
Clearly that had to have affected his psyche.
And the dad was never in the picture?
No, he doesn't even know who his dad is.
Since he was born, remember?
Yeah.
Mary Kay Bergman went through a similar feeling of depression when her mom had cancer. But
was
the thing
diagnosed,
is, usually with weed addiction, with that kind of bad news,
put you in a bad place.
It'll lead to more inward suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a normal human being, a decent person.
Yeah.
But this sociopath, it's not inward. He wants to go kill somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
But it looks like a lot of things piled on at the same time. And when you have that complex, like you are that kid on set, you know, you're very important. And, you know, and then once that goes away, too, add that to it. You know, you're You're not the same status level as you once were. No one knows you on this campus. No one cares about you.
Yeah.
And you're just not like a important person. When you go on a movie set and you're like a kid star, you're like a fucking rock star there.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hey, can I get you a latte? You know, and then you throw the hot latte in their face and it burns their skin off.
He's trying to do the same shtick as the Becoming Redwood set from a decade earlier. Like, hey, check out these pants, eh? Pretty wild, eh?
Yeah, everyone at school is like, we don't even know who you are. We don't know what's going on here.
What's with the wig?
Yeah, he's not getting the same. Yeah, he's wearing that wig. He's wearing the Witcher wig to school in the morning. People are scared.
Why are you holding a golf club, eh?
In the month of March 2020, obviously, like we said, things are piling up. People are probably like, oh, but his career wasn't over. He still was just in Riverdale. But in any actor, anybody that was in the entertainment industry at that time, when the pandemic hit, everything shut down. Mm-hmm. We didn't know when it was coming back. So that was definitely a key part to his brain being not in the right spot.
Based on the pop culture flash, March 30th, 2020, it wasn't full shutdown for very long.
Right.
But to his credit, I do remember the first week or two of the shutdown, and it was frightening.
Oh, absolutely.
But you Canada weren't sure if it was over.
Canada took it way more, even more seriously than the U.S. did.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. In the month of March this year, 2020, he started filming his descent into madness on his GoPro.
Yikes.
So he started doing like a video journal.
Oh boy. I want to join the dark web.
Yeah. He's like the Joker.
Yeah.
Insane.
I know. Imagine having to be the mom in this house.
Oh. She's just living with him while he's doing all this stuff, but not knowing that he's doing any of this stuff.
Oh my God.
He bought a bunch of rifles, ammo, and other deadly weapons that he stashed in his room, and he would record himself loading and unloading the guns.
And she's not hearing any of this.
Just, yeah, who, I don't know.
Even Jeffrey Dahmer's grandma, that old granny, found his mannequin.
That is true.
And she's not hearing him cocking these guns.
Well, it could be a big house.
Yeah, it was.
It's all that
diarrhea
and wimpy kid money.
Yeah, the house that Wimpy built.
That Wimpy built,
all that Bush money, yeah.
He's just down there with all these rounds of fucking, you know, in these guns and fucking who knows what else.
It's crazy. During the month of March 2020, he would film himself multiple times sneaking behind his mother and putting the rifle at the back of her head, but not pulling the trigger.
What?
And he would run away before she noticed anything.
How did anyone know this?
He filmed it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he had the camera secretly set up somewhere?
Yeah, he had it like attached to his hat or his chest, like in one of those like holsters.
GoPro holster?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So he's literally recreating one of those POV shots from horror movies, like in Halloween where you see the killer lurking around
the
house.
Yeah, like Mike Myers, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just walking around
the house. That's disturbing.
That poor mom.
Oh, my God. She had no idea. Should just be sitting playing the piano.
I think deep down, she must have known her son was kind of a kooky guy.
Yeah.
At some point. Every mom wants to give their son the benefit of the doubt. And I'm sure when he's like, I want to be an actor, she's like, anything to get this kid mind on something else. Because he's crazy.
No, I don't think so. Because
really?
She was his biggest cheerleader and supporter. And like they were like best friends. And the sister said that the mom never said anything about Ryan. Being weird or off or seemingly violent or nothing.
Wow.
Again, what was her occupation?
Manager.
All right, come on.
So yeah, she's a PR person too, so maybe she's not going to tell you exactly what's going on.
Yeah, but why not tell the sister? You got to vent to somebody.
Yeah, I guess.
A vent about the kid that is
bringing in the dough?
Alejandra has no respect for this mother.
No.
I do.
But she's taking the money, huh? Yeah,
follow the money.
No, I do. It's just you're making it sound like, oh, they were just angels, best friends, and she never had a bad word. Well, yeah, I mean, would you start complaining about your, you know, money bag?
Your money bag.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
Well, yeah, he's running the house because he's kind of the boss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And to give her a little more credit, she is ill.
Yeah.
So maybe she's out of it.
Extremely,
and not noticing. I feel for her. Look, I don't want you to get the wrong idea.
Yeah.
I'm just saying again, let's be real. Okay. You know, she was the breadwinner.
He's doubling down on it. Yeah. Okay.
all while this is happening, it finally comes down to March 30th, 2020. Ryan would finally make his fantasies a reality.
Oh, boy.
While his mother was playing the piano, something that she loved doing, it cheered her up and made her feel good, Ryan filmed himself going upstairs, loading his rifle, walking back down the stairs, and sitting on the bottom step, listening to her play for a while. After a few minutes, he sneaks behind her, points the rifle to the back of her head, and pulls the trigger. She had no idea what happened.
What?
Dead. Wow. Immediately. This is all on camera, by the way. He's filming all of this on his GoPro. So,
God almighty.
What the fuck?
His mother, his biggest supporter and best friend, was shot dead at the age of 64 by a spineless Ryan Grantham.
What?
Her son.
An asshole.
And
oh
her
my
best
God.
Friend, according to you.
And manager.
Yeah.
Alejandro doesn't want you to forget.
Yeah, don't forget that.
No, I feel for her. That this is a tragedy.
This is insane.
Nobody deserves that.
Yeah. So while she's bleeding out on the ground, he records a 4-minute confession that shows his mother's bloody and lifeless body on the floor in the background.
Oh my God.
So he confesses right in the moment.
While she's still bleeding out, yeah. In his trial, he said that if she was conscious at all, she knew that it was him eventually because she would have seen him.
Oh, what a douchebag.
Yeah.
He doesn't even entertain the thought like, well, I hope she went fast so she didn't suffer. He's like, well, she might have known it was me. If
yeah.
She-
What Literally.
A, what a sociopathic.
What's his motive? I don't even know what's going on.
Oh,
here.
I'll give you the motive in
okay.
a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
After recording the confession, he goes back upstairs to his room where he smoked weed and watched Netflix for the rest of the night. The next day, he wakes up. He goes downstairs. He covers his mother in a white sheet, hung a rosary from her piano, and lit candles all around her body. And you would think this is where the story ends.
Oh, my God. Please stop.
Think again.
Jeez.
So the next day, on April 1st, Ryan loaded his car with multiple guns, ammunition, 12 Molotov cocktails, and a printed MapQuest direction sheet to the Rideau Cottage in Ottawa, Ontario.
That's old school, the MapQuest.
Yeah, what year printed. Is this?
Yeah, I know. It's like 2005.
Otherwise known as the current home of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Trudeau comes back into it with a vengeance.
So he
into
wrote
the story.
Yeah, he wrote all in his journal about wanting to kill Justin Trudeau. The reasons are unknown to the public, but it was in his trial that he really wanted the prime minister dead.
Is it because of the lockdowns?
So people speculated maybe he bought into some like QAnon theories or like was upset about the lockdown. I think he was upset about him doing blackface twice. So he had to go.
Oh, God.
Trudeau, never forget.
Trudeau had to go.
So he's kind of an SJW then.
It could be, yeah.
The ultimate.
Yeah.
Yeah, or he didn't like how he was flirting with Ivanka Trump.
Hey. That's...
That was going on at that time.
Hey, we can't have that.
So many questions for me.
She's
as
got
to,
it.
As to why he would do all... Like, obviously, he's a young, dumb kid that knows nothing about the world. You know, he's... driven himself insane with all this weed. And he's got no other friends or people that he talks to, it seems like.
Yeah.
And what about this? What if he was trying to be compassionate to his mom and end her suffering?
We'll hear in his words why he actually did it after this story.
After this commercial break? Yeah. What are you talking about?
What are we waiting for? Like?
We got Ridge Wallets for sale, guys.
Heinz Ketchup. Come and get it.
Next week on Death and Entertainment.
Sponsored Stamps. By...
Stamps.com.
Pow! All right. So, his whole plan, for reasons unknown, he was trying to kill the prime minister. He was driving all the way to Ottawa, which, if you don't know, from Vancouver to Ottawa would be like driving from Los Angeles to New York City. Like, it's a long fucking way.
And through Canada.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moose.
By landmass, Canada is the biggest country in the world.
Oh, wow.
By landmass.
All that mass. That country's thick. So as he's driving from Vancouver to Ottawa, he has a change of heart. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to let Justin live. But what I'm going to do is either commit a mass murder at my college, Simon Fraser University at Vancouver.
Harvard of the Vancouver.
Yeah.
Kind of like Elliot Rodger years before.
Or at Lionsgate Bridge, which is a very congested roadway with little chance for a quick escape if people were shooting at you. if you're just stuck on a bridge.
Just like the last man standing, just shooting his way out of the bridge. Crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And what would this prove? Because at one point, it's maybe about the compassion for the mom. And another point, it's about QAnon protecting the people. What would shooting the bridge...
Yeah, his motives and reasonings are all over the place. It makes no sense.
What does that accomplish?
What you're saying makes complete sense, because this whole thing is just odd. Because he had written in his journal that he wanted to be known as a serial killer, not a mass murderer. But being a serial killer usually entails planning very deliberate kills with a particular type of person. Like Ted Bundy killed young women. Dahmer would hunt gay men, etc. Right? So it's usually like there's like a pathos.
And it's like a span of like 30 to 40 years.
Yeah.
He's doing it in like 2 days.
Yeah. And he said he didn't want to become a mass murderer. So that's exactly what he would have done if he went to the school or the bridge. Yeah, being a serial killer, more than anything, I think we can all agree, takes commitment to a plan. Okay.
Yeah.
And this guy was just all over the place.
He didn't have the ambition for that.
No.
Yeah, he's a lousy actor, and he's also a lousy serial killer.
Yeah. So while he's driving and, you know, deciding whether or not he's going to go to the college or the bridge, his sister Lisa has been trying to call their mom all day and not getting an answer. She keeps calling and texting and just had a sinking feeling in her gut that something bad had happened, because their mother would never go that long without texting or calling back.
And Lisa is living somewhere else.
Like, yeah.
She's out of school at this point.
Yeah, she's not at home. So Lisa actually drives over to the mother's house, keys in, and finds her mother's body covered in a bloody sheet with melted candles all around her.
Ugh.
And obviously immediately calls the police.
God damn it.
What a thing to find. I cannot imagine what that felt like.
Well, just the shock of like, what would bring this on? Or like, it couldn't have been my brother. Who the hell did this then? And where is my brother?
Right, exactly.
Do we know how long he was odd like this? Like, really? Like, or was he always kind of odd? Like,
based on that video from before where he looked like the Witcher, he was always kind of odd.
I agree.
The lawyers and stuff were saying 2019 is when all this kind of started for him.
It could just seem weird because he was Canadian and maybe just like, you know, it's a different culture and maybe they're all the kids are weird there.
And the fact that he looked like Chucky and he's holding a golf club.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I'm just wondering, was he always kind of a douchebag?
No, that's why it was so weird. It was just that last, I mean, probably internally, yes, but... there wasn't anybody that really had a sense that he was capable of any of this.
But sociopaths, they don't really, they don't start acting out on their sociopathy until like their 20s. So he was probably just getting around that age where it was like time to like mentally, it was just, you know, things were changing in his brain and like it was going to come out eventually.
Yeah, he was
His dad was the same way.
He was 21 when this all went down. So
yeah,
I mean, that makes sense.
Could be hereditary, the dad, you know, piece of shit, you know. The balls on the dad would just, like, you know, have some kids and just take off like that.
Yeah. The sister calls the police, obviously reports it. They show up there. All this is happening while he's still driving back, deciding whether or not he's going to do the college or the bridge. And for, again, reasons unknown, he, instead of going and killing a bunch of people at either of those locations, he... passes a police station, pulls over into it immediately, and just confesses. He walks in, he goes, I just killed my mother. I was on the way to kill Justin Trudeau. I have video of me loading the gun and killing my mom and confessing. It's in the car, you can get it. And all this, there's a bunch of rifles and Molotov cocktails in there too, by the way. So he immediately gets arrested and charged with second degree murder, which in Canada, any conviction for murder of any degree, first, second, or third, is, if you're found guilty, automatic life in prison. The only thing that changes is being eligible for parole at a certain point.
Interesting.
They, obviously, first degree murder, you get no parole. Second or third degree, you would get parole.
So he still can be paroled?
If he's found guilty. This is the trial.
You know, my theory about him, maybe he just needed a nice drive, nice long drive. Maybe that's what cooled him off. maybe that's what did it. And then he just, he's like, he didn't have that kind of thirst for murder anymore. Yeah. I don't know. Just a theory. Why would he just stop and just confess?
Or he saw a moose in front of a waterfall and he's like, look at how beautiful the Canadian countryside is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to turn myself in.
So during the trial, the videos were shown and his journal was read, and to me, it seems very odd that he would still be prosecuted under second-degree murder. It was his lawyers that argued his actions were not based out of hatred or malice and no premeditation. The reason he did what he did was because he didn't want his mother to suffer knowing that he was the one who killed the Prime Minister of Canada.
What?
Because she was already going through enough on her own.
That is, wow.
Not even the cancer thing, just suffer knowing that her son, and then she
combined with the cancer and being such a disappointment, and he didn't want her to suffer at the end of her life knowing that her son was capable of such a thing.
Wow.
She didn't like the Riverdale scene or something? Like, why was he such a disappointment at that point?
Well, little do we know. Like, we don't know how much he auditioned and just didn't get roles. Mm-hmm. You know, he probably went for, like, bigger roles that he just never got. We don't really see it, you know, from our perspective. But
right.
He's probably going out there, not getting a lot of stuff, not getting any reaction. And his agent, not his manager, is probably like, yeah, you know, people just aren't biting for you today. You know, and just like... That's what was going on, and, you know, we don't see it because we think he's, like, a very successful child actor, but the tide has turned, and he's not even that, you know, he's not that great anyway.
Yeah, that
does
make sense.
And he's also not getting any more roles.
It does make sense, the way of having anxiety about your career, like you said.
Yes.
On the outside, it's like, to anybody that's not in the industry, it's like, oh, my God, this guy's moving on up, but it could be he just peaked, and that's it.
Like, Jonathan Brandis, similar thing, future episode, but, like, he wasn't getting anything. Like, he got that Ladybugs movie with Rodney Dangerfield, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, in 1992.
Yeah, and but like later on in his career, like a couple of years later, he wasn't getting any callbacks. It just wasn't, he didn't have any traction.
He was cut out of the movie Hearts War with Bruce Willis.
Oh, wow.
Cut out. And that's what started his depression.
Same thing with David Axelrod from Son of
Lisa. David Strickland.
I always got
every episode.
I know.
He really wants Obama's buddy to be his killer.
Whatever, press secretary.
Not killer, but a victim.
But you know what I mean? He got cut out of that movie, too.
David Strickland was in Forces of Nature, had more scenes than we saw in the finished product, and that bummed him out.
Yeah.
But he wasn't cut out. Jonathan Brandis was actually cut out entirely.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
David Strickland was just whining about, you know.
He got pared down to like.
And as I've said, he should have been happy he was cut out of that movie.
Yeah, it sucked.
Voices
anyway.
Of Nature.
The defense during the trial also stated that the second degree murder charges were appropriate because he did not plan out the murder of his mother. And I think that's complete bullshit. I think we haven't seen, but the jury and everybody in the courtroom saw the video of him going up to her multiple times, pointing it at the back of her head and not pulling the trigger and going away before she noticed.
Exactly. Yeah. It was premeditated.
It was not only premeditated, it was rehearsed. So only investigators and people in the courtroom have seen the horrible videos and his chilling confession on the GoPro. He was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 14 years, which is 2036. So you can just shoot your mom in the head and then get out in 14 years. Like, that's insane.
Wow.
And I don't know the rules, too. Like, I don't know if you can upgrade charges after the trial already started to be like, no, this was clearly first-degree murder.
I think if a prosecutor states the charges, I don't think they can upgrade them. That's some, like, crazy, TV movie type thing, where, you know, Law and Order, where they upgrade the charges. I don't think they'd really do that in real life.
Yeah. His lawyer announced that Grantham is now seeking psychiatric help in prison and has heard positive reviews about his behavior. Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
That's, you know, very good.
People like his performances again.
Yeah. His lawyers also acknowledged his apology, saying she believed he is truly remorseful because Grantham addressed the court earlier this year saying, "I cannot explain or justify my actions. It hurts me to think about how badly I've wasted my life." So it's about him. It's not even about the mom. Mm. It hurts me to think about how much I've wasted my life. Like, go fuck yourself.
He is so concerned with himself at every angle, it seems like.
Yeah.
And no one else.
Right.
Mom, you got to take me out on these auditions. I want to be an actor. She made his career.
Right.
He is not worthy of a career in acting at all.
No.
He sucks.
He couldn't even play a shrub well.
Alejandro doesn't think much of her, what she's done, but I think she did wonders with what she was given with a mediocre actor.
Where did I say that? All I said is that she had some motivation to keep the train
the money
running.
Train coming.
All right? That's it.
Yeah. And keep the crazy talk quiet and then keep the money coming in.
Yeah. And one thing I want to say about his premeditation, obviously it follows a pattern of mass murderers. That is a classic thing that they do before the big shooting, is kill one of their parents.
They do, yeah.
You know,
or they go back home and do it afterwards. Yeah,
yeah. To shield them for it, or because they hate them, whatever the case,
yeah.
That happens quite a bit.
His sister Lisa actually testified during the trial. She said she was sick over it because her mom, who was battling cancer, was vulnerable. And she added that Ryan gave her no chance to defend herself. And it pains her to know that Ryan was a danger to her life. And she said that she fears that her brother will be released from prison.
Oof.
Which, with the Delphi murders, I don't know how many people have been following this. It's a huge story this week. They finally caught someone who they think they know is the killer, but everything's been sealed, and so nobody's getting details yet, and people are freaking out, being like, release the information. But the family's wish is that the documents are sealed until the trial starts.
For the Delphi murders?
Yes.
And what are the Delphi murders?
The two girls that were on Snapchat that caught their killer following them right before they were murdered in Delphi, Indiana.
Wow.
Yeah.
Creepy.
I think... just follow the wishes of the people who are related to the people who have been killed.
Yeah.
Like, if the sister doesn't want her brother to be released, if she's scared, we should all be scared. Like, fucking lock him up and that's it. Throw away the key.
Show them that interview from 2012.
Yeah.
And say, you really want this guy on the streets?
Lock the gates. That's what I said.
Lock the gates! Yeah, so he has the possibility to get out and, you know, possibly start acting again in 14 years. We don't know.
God.
Yeah.
That would be a career resurgence.
Yeah. That's his reconnaissance.
Oh my God. Grand Hollandsons.
He wins an Oscar.
Grand Thomasons.
He stars as himself, yeah. In the TV version.
Yeah.
Then Will Smith goes up there and slaps him.
Then everyone, they'd give him another Oscar for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Public service.
That's how he comes back.
Will Smith will be already allowed back to the Oscars for 4 years by the time he gets out.
Oh, really?
If he gets out, yeah.
All these dates are matching up.
Yeah, it comes full circle.
Like, we're all going to survive to those these dates anyway.
No, release the Smith. Yeah.
That poor sister. I mean, come on.
She lost her whole family. That's it.
Oh, what a tragedy. Her dad left when she was very young.
Yep.
And then to lose your mom in that manner.
Yeah.
And to have your brother not only be an embarrassment, and then on top of it, you got his shitty acting filmography to back it up.
Yeah, what's more embarrassing?
That is.
Yeah, it is.
Like, this is nothing good about this guy. Like, that. God, that sister, she needs to, I hope she finds peace.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is around good people.
And doesn't go to try to visit her shitty brother.
No, yeah. Well, it doesn't sound
like.
I
very
like...
much doubt it, yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing, too. It's like, I haven't seen any testimony from her saying that she saw this coming in any way. I think it's just a complete shock. And the fact that he was just in his room watching dark web videos of people being murdered and like getting off to it. I don't think anybody knew that it was happening.
No. No, I mean, what can you say? It's like that don't fuck with cats guy.
Yeah.
You never know how far they're going to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mom, I don't know. But it's hard to, like, could she have gone in the basement and, like, saw the guns and stuff? Or
they were in his room. I mean, she could have, yeah, at any point probably found them. But
he was an adult.
Right.
He wasn't a kid anymore.
It's just weird that all this happened outside the sphere of Hollywood. Like, this all happened in a small town in British Columbia.
I thought he was, like, doing coke on Sunset Boulevard or something.
No, he just lived at home, kept to himself, and then killed his mom. It's just a very weird, wacky story.
Yeah.
And the other weird part is that he did have... Thank you, Carson.
Yeah.
That he did have.
Johnny.
Leno's there, too. He's like, you see this guy up in Canada? He shot his mom.
David Wimpy, get a weird guy if you have me, maybe.
kind of a wimpy killer there, you know what I mean? That'd be a good title. All right. The fact that he did have Riverdale. That's
yeah.
a popular show. He had a big scene in it. That is the scene you put in the actor's reel.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't do him any good because that scene sucked. You know, he was horrible in it, but yeah. still.
But I will play devil's advocate. I stand by my theory that he was not getting any calls back from anyone about any roles or anything. They're like, this kid is not only a monster on set, probably, he also sucks in his scenes.
So he could have been a monster as well to work with.
Monster for, yeah, the director is probably like, oh, God, this kid can't even deliver two lines. Maybe. And you know, you get a bad rep around town if you're people are like, this kid's weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He might have been just like the cheap version, like, oh, we'll get this kid in Canada for do it on the sly.
Maybe. Yeah. It's like shooting Vancouver for New York.
Yeah.
Shooting this weird Witcher kid for a normal kid.
We need that creepy, unlikable actor from Canada.
We can't afford one of the Skarsgård kids. So yeah. We're going to get this weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Who the hell knows? It's just a weird whole set of circumstances that unfolded. And rest in peace to Barbara. That is brutal.
Barbara Grantham?
Barbara Waite.
Waite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if what the security like is for Trudeau, like if he could have actually penetrated their, you know, security.
Oh, I doubt it. There's no way.
Yeah. Is there just like a one big moose out front or something?
Trudeau's in blackface.
Okay.
He's like, come and get me.
Yeah, he's like Tony Montana. I'm reloading.
Cockroach. And Ryan comes dressed as the shrub for like camouflage.
Yeah. Well, Pacino was actually in like brown fit. Like he was pretending to be
a Cuban
guy also.
Yeah. Oh, in Scarface.
In Scarface, yeah. So he was like doing it with the same suit and everything. That all you got? Wimpy kid!
And Ryan Grantham's like, next stop is Mickey Rooney for his Asian face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
That's
God.
True, yeah.
Then Jimmy Fallon is last on the list for his blackface.
Everyone must go down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a long list.
We don't have enough time.
I know, yeah. The list unfurls.
He's like, I only wish I could have killed Al Jolson.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, dig him back up and kill him again.
Yeah.
All right, well, final thoughts, kids.
Rest in peace.
This one snuck up on me. I'll be honest with you, Kyle. I didn't know what was going on here. I came in blind, and I wish I didn't.
And RIP Barb.
Barb.
Yeah.
Barbara. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. I'll say it again. I think that she was probably a wonderful mother.
Yeah, of course.
And manager.
What a 180 you've done here.
She took 10%, but
okay.
She also probably put it back into the family.
Yes.
Yeah.
She did the work.
She did the work. Yeah, that's rest in peace. And what a weird fucking family.
Yeah. Like,
I, you know, maybe it didn't start that way, but.
You think?
It certainly ended that way. Yeah.
To quote the wimpy kid actor. Nice. You think?
Nice callback.
Hello, callback.
And I have two questions. What was he watching on Netflix that night?
That's one of my questions.
And
too.
What song was the mom playing on the piano?
There's someone on Reddit that said, am I fucked up for wanting to know what song she was playing?
Not at all. That's a good question.
It
maybe
is.
It was like Wagner or something.
It's Chopsticks.
Mary Had a Little Lamb.
She's learning the piano. Mary had a little... Fuck, I can't get that part.
Yeah. By all accounts, she was very talented and... Yeah, because she was sick, she was getting back to like things that made her happy.
Or was it like a Sondheim Broadway show tune? She's like, tonight.
That's all we got.
That's all we got all for right, you guys.
Well, follow us on Twitter.
Instagram.
Tw- Twitter at DiePod2021, Instagram at Death and Entertainment, also YouTube, Death and Entertainment, and email us at deathandentertainment@gmail.com if you feel like it.
And TikTok.
And TikTok.
At if you're feeling frisky.
Feeling frisky. We got a big following. We got Hong Kong. We got Slovakia. We're taking over the world one country, one territory at a time.
Might we enter the Canadian province
Hey, we
soon.
Might with this episode.
Shout out to Vancouver. We love you.
Yeah.
We love your colleges.
And Toronto. You're not so shabby either.
Yeah, right?
Love Toronto.
Yeah. Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Well, you know. Yeah, let's not get hysterical.
Let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Arrivederci.
Until next time.
Bye now.
Don't go dying on us.
Bye.
You have just heard
a true Hollywood murder mystery.
I have never seen anything like this before.
The movies, Broadway, music, television, all of it.
A place that manufactures
nightmares.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Good night. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon.